about Be a Man today. Father's Day is a recognition that fathers have a unique role in their children's lives. And one of the things that caught me by surprise when I was doing some reading and research on this was that fathers are different than mothers because they tend to play rougher with their children. They tend to throw them in the air. They tend to buck them off their backs. They tend to do all kinds of rough types of games. And what this one researcher had to risk take and learn how to manage risks. As old as I am on this one. Irish Spring came on the market in 1970. And bought Irish Spring because I wanted to be the Irish Spring guy on TV. What caught my attention about that commercial. At that time, Irish Spring, when it first came out and up through the mid-80s, their theme on their box was a manly scent, right? Today's theme on their box is original clean. You will not find manly on this box at all. It's not there. I thought I would look up one of their more modern commercials. And so I went on and found one on YouTube and watched one from 2022. And instead of having the man with these guys wrestling and telling them, well, you need to go take a shower with Irish Spring and cutting the Irish Spring bar open and showing all of it, instead you have this disheveled man floating down a river on a raft. And he is confused and not understanding anything. And finally he drifts into this kind of a lagoon. And on the shore is sort of like a Celtic Nirvana. All these people dressed in white and with flowers, and they're dancing around on the lawn. And he comes ashore, and everybody goes, "Ooh, you stink!" And so they take and they grab him, and they put him in this box and take him over and dump him into the Irish Spring. And then he comes out in these glowing white clothes, and now he can dance around on the lawn with everybody else. You can see how it fits with original and clean. And I thought when I watched that commercial, if I'd seen that commercial when I was a young teenager, that would have been the last soap I would have ever purchased in my life. It had no appeal. It had nothing that I wanted to aspire to. What it really was telling me is you don't want to be this guy on the raft. That's what the commercial was. You don't want to be the guy on the raft, the stinky, dirty guy that is confused. The other one told me this is what you want to be. You want to be a man who can tackle life and take life on. And I'm sorry that it's changed. Over the 52 years since the beginning of this particular soap, there have been a lot of changes in their marketing slogans. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But those marketing slogans have kind of mirrored what has happened in our culture, in our attitude toward manliness. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. I want to focus a little bit on that word, act like men. There are many different ways that they try and translate this particular word. It is only used one time in the entire Bible, not just the New Testament, the entire Bible. Even when they translated the Old Testament, they didn't use this word. This was only used one time in the Bible. It is associated with another word that is used in the Bible, and that is the name Andrew. They both come from the same root word. So it is a word that is related to Andrew. So that word is used in the Bible, but this particular word is used only once, and it's here in the Bible. And it is. And the question I asked myself is, why did Paul use this word and not other words? Because there are a lot of other words that can be translated as brave. Other translations translate this as be brave. But it is literally the word andrizomai. And that is the actual Greek word that is used here. The word Andrew means essentially the same thing. It means manly. So if you've got a friend named Andrew, you can say, "Hey, you're a real man." But the word Andrew means manly. It means being a man. It comes from the Greek anar, which is male, and the addition of the other parts of that word are manly or like a man. And so that's where that word comes from. It is an indication of bravery where it's used in ancient Greek, and it's used very sparingly in ancient Greek. Modern idioms that would equivocate to this particular word are put on your big boy pants. It's that intense of a word. It's like, put on your big boy pants. Or man up. Or even as tense as suck it up. So that's what this word is. It has that kind of intensity in this passage. Paul uses it for maximum impact. So that tells me in this particular verse, Paul wants his readers to pay attention to what he's saying, because he's using a word that is designed to have maximum impact. Our culture up until the 1980s generally had a positive image of manly or masculine. Later, in the late 1980s, they started adding words or adjectives to it, such as toxic masculinity or toxic manliness, or misogynist manliness or misogynist. And they came to be coupled very closely with these two words and began casting them in a distinctly negative light in our culture. In this particular passage, in verse 13, the Apostle Paul lays out for us four principles of manliness. The first one is be watchful. This is an interesting term. It is a term which comes out of the military use. It was a term that was used for a person who was on guard. And literally it could be translated, be alert, be awake. So it's a term for being alert or awake. It was literally used as a military term. It is a Greek word which means gregor, and it is where we get our name Gregory from, is literally from this word. Stand firm is a fascinating word, and Paul says you need to stand firm in the faith. This word for stand firm was another military term, and it was a term for when a soldier took a stand, a tactical stand, on a piece of land. I am defending this piece of land. This is a tactical stand. And so that's literally what the word is meaning. It's meaning the sense of a tactical stand. He also talks about being a man here, and in the terminology, it's be brave or be courageous. Be willing to launch out and do what's necessary. The last word that he uses there is a word, be strong. Now, I was interested in that because there are a lot of Greek words that give us the sense of strength or power. But this particular word is a word which means to grow in strength and was used in athletics, where a person was in training and exercising to build their strength. So that's where this word is about. It's building our strength, or developing ourselves spiritually. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, Paul says to Timothy, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men." His concept is that there is a need for faithfulness in this character of being a man, being faithful in that process of life. And then he tells Timothy, share in suffering as a good soldier. In other words, be that man that endures through difficulty and problems. Be a good soldier. And then he says, you need to be an athlete, so that you will be crowned because you have competed according to the rules. In other words, rules are important in our lives. Boundaries are important in our lives. Following the boundaries is important. And then he talks about the hardworking farmer. The idea of a hardworking farmer is one who has put their effort and their labor into the ground to produce something, and it comes out, and they should be the first to enjoy the produce of their work and their labor. And so Paul is talking about to Timothy, these are the kinds of things I want you to develop in your life. This is my adventure bottle. I have not made one of these before. My girls kept telling me when we were on down in Corpus Christi, "Dad, you need to put all your stickers, you need to get stickers from where you've been, and you need to put them on your computer or something. Or put them on your bottle." And I had this bottle at the time, and I don't know about you, but I do not like to put stickers on my car or on my computer or on my phone. That's something I can't bring myself to do that. But I had this bottle, and I said, okay, I'll break down, and I'll put it on my bottle. And the stickers are a way of reminding you where you've been and what you've done. And you know what? I kind of like it. It was kind of a good idea, so I have to give my girls credit for that. I have adventure stickers for each of the men here today, so you can remember my message. You can choose one of these four stickers. They are made of vinyl, so they are waterproof. And two of them share the verse in different translations of it. One of them has a military theme, one has a lion theme. I like this one. It says, "Man up." And the other one says, "Act like men." So you can choose any of those four guys and take them home, put them on your computer, on your cell phone, on an adventure bottle like I have. Because it also, something about this is that it is an aspiration of what I want to be and what I should be in life. Paul likely came from a military family. The city where he was born was a Roman colony. That's where they settled Roman soldiers after they retired. His father or his grandfather probably had been a Roman army officer. Many of the Jewish men had served in the Roman army during the time of Caesar Augustus. In the Roman army, the most important soldier was a centurion. They were the top soldiers in the army. You did not get to be a centurion because you were born one. You did not get to be a centurion because your dad was one, your uncle was one, or anyone else was a centurion. You didn't get to be a centurion if you were born into a wealthy, powerful, noble family. You got to be a centurion by enlisting in the army and working your way up through the ranks. That was the only way you got to be a centurion. It was a tough job. Each centurion had to be a man of tremendous courage, loyalty, training, and discipline. They knew and respected the chain of command. They were the primary trainers of every Roman soldier. If the Roman army was successful, it was because of the character of these men. And if it failed, it was because of the lack of character of these men. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul tells us, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm, stand, therefore." In other words, take a piece of ground that's tactical, and stand. Man up is an interesting statement. And probably it's just as accurate a translation of this particular word in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13, as any other. Paul tells us that we are engaged in a spiritual battle with powerful political, cultural, and spiritual forces with dark intentions, and that we are up against evil spirits. Those are the realities that we face. Our mettle as Christians is tested in such battles. Therefore, we take upon ourselves the armor of God and we stand. A soldier is trained to assess the terrain and choose the best tactical place to stand. And we have to do that as well. In ancient Greek and Roman cultures, the ideal of manliness was formed basically by two different characters in Homer's writings. The first one was Achilles, and the other one was Ulysses or Odysseus, as he's also known. And those two men formed the basis of what Greek and Roman people thought were the ideals of manhood. And I never really thought about it. I assumed that basically they had all these other characteristics that we as Christians think are important. When I was 40 years old, I read a biography of Alexander the Great. And I was surprised when I read that biography that Alexander the Great had intentionally patterned himself after Achilles. And so I thought, I've never actually read the Iliad or the Odyssey. All I've done is read those carefully crafted notes that they gave us in school and the edited versions of it. I never read the whole thing. I've just read the edited versions. So I sat down and actually read the Iliad and I read the Odyssey, and they are big books. What I discovered is I really didn't like Achilles. He was a self-centered, pompous, arrogant, violent, vicious man. And very often lost control of himself and his temper. He was certainly at times generous. He was loyal. He was brave, but for me, that didn't make up for those other defects in his personality. Odysseus, I thought, well, Odysseus is a good guy. He's wise, he's smart, he's intelligent. He is also brave. He's not as loyal, but he is brave. And, you know, I could, Odysseus is okay. I can, then I read the Odyssey, which is the story of Odysseus. And I discovered a man that was selfish. He was conniving. He was plotting. He was all kinds of things I didn't want to be either. And I sat down and thought, how did I ever think these guys were patterns of life? And it suddenly dawned on me that the world of the Greeks and the Romans was very different in their understanding of what was manly than what I understood in my culture. And I began asking myself, why is that? And I discovered that there are reasons why. Because part of Western culture was formed by Judaism. The Jewish people added to our concept of who we are the ideals of faithfulness, honesty, steadfastness. And then Christianity added to that compassion, courtesy, and self-sacrifice. Without that Jewish and that Christian addition to what it meant to be manly, I wouldn't want to live in a world controlled by those kind of men. They became the ideal for which we were to strive. As those Christian underpinnings have been lost in our society, young men in our culture are turning to those original ideas of manliness again. I don't know if you've heard any of our teenagers driving down the street with their windows open, blaring out hip-hop and rap music. Have you ever listened to some of the words and the attitude they have toward women? The attitude they have toward rage and violence? It sounds like Achilles. Certainly there's an encouragement for bravery, but it's also an encouragement for rage and brutal violence. And then I'll listen to others that are blaring out more of the country pop things that a lot of the teenage boys are listening to. And you know what? When I listen to those songs, I'm hearing Odysseus. I'm hearing Ulysses. If I'm cunning and I'm conniving, I can get around this thing. If I'm selfish, it's okay. I don't want to live in that world. Paul says to Timothy, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life. My daughters sent this picture of a t-shirt to me. I'm not sure exactly what they meant. It says, stop whining, stop crying, stop thinking poor me. It's time to put on your big boy pants and man up. I'm still not sure what they meant. It must have been for somebody else. We spend a lot of time whining about the problems and the unfairness of life, don't we? Paul tells Timothy that because we live in this world, we are going to face things as Christians that we don't like. Sometimes as Christians, we just need to put on our big boy pants and face the circumstances of life. In 2 Timothy, Paul says in chapter 4, verse 3, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate to themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And then Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Sober-minded means to be clear-headed or a clear thinker. It is dangerous when Christianity buys in to cultural relevance to the point that we rubber stamp bad behavior and condone sinful actions and attitudes. We live in a culture that does not want to be told no, and it does not want to be told your actions are destructive or wrong. Paul commands Timothy then to be sober-minded. Think clearly about things. In Joshua, we heard about God saying to Joshua, be courageous. Be courageous and trust in me. I am with you. Moses had died, and Joshua was now the leader. And he had no clue how he was going to lead. That's when God challenges him to have courage and trust in His intention and His presence. As we walk through this world, we must trust that God's purpose in us is good and that the Holy Spirit walks with us. And that we can have confidence in ourselves and courage in every circumstance. So what did Paul want to tell the Corinthians throughout his book? Why did he use this word so heavily? There are seven things that he wanted to talk to them about in this book. He wanted them to learn how to respect authority in the chain of command. He wanted to talk to them about integrity in their decisions and their lifestyle. He wanted to talk to them about honor in their marriages, in their singleness, and in their sexual purity. He wanted to talk to them about freedom and responsibility and duty as they walked their Christian walk. He wanted to talk to them about worship practices and their lifestyle and how they honored God and respected other people in their worship. He also wanted to talk to them about the central tenets of the Christian faith and how they could protect those in their lives. And then he also wanted to remind them that they needed to be generous in life. Those things were what he comes down to. And in this closing part of chapter 16, he says, "So, man up." These are the things I've told you, so man up and let's do this stuff. In verse 14, it says, "Let all that you do be done in love." The word there is genomai, and it indicates more than just doing something. In fact, it is a word which means being what you are, is what the word means. What you are. To coin a phrase or to coin a term from the old commercials, it is a manly scent. But I like it too. Being a Christian is carrying this responsibility, living it, putting on our big boy pants, and facing the world. And that's part of it. Stand with me. It's really easy to say, poor me. It's easy to check out. It's easy to decide I'm not going to be involved anymore. I'm not going to challenge anything. I'm just going to crawl in and pull the hole in around me. But Paul would say to us, man up. Man up. Let's pray. Father, we live in a world that is very difficult right now, and there is a lot of evil. As we watch the underpinnings of Christianity being lost in our culture, we realize that many of our young men are desperately trying to find what it means to be a man. And they are turning toward models of manhood that are destructive to them and to the society around us. And so, God, I ask you to move on our culture. But move on us as Christians first, God, that we will pull up our big boy pants and be the men and women you need us to be in this culture. That's what you've called us to, God. So God, help us. God, help me. praise your name, Jesus. God bless you.